Often when discussing the Varnashram system, Srila Prabhupada said that everywhere all over the world there are Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras. That always in human society there is an intellectual class, an administrative class, a productive class and a laboring class. So you may ask then, why was Srila Prabhupada anxious to introduce Varnashram if already these divisions are there? We get a clue from this verse that here it is stated, Brahma created all these in systematic order. That these classes of people are there in human society, but not in a systematic way. There's neither knowledge of the goal of life. There is not knowledge of the goal of life, so obviously there's also not knowledge of how to attain it. So here the first leg of religion is stated to be education. The Sanskrit word given here is vidya, which means knowledge. Here Prabhupada has translated it as education. Because to acquire all but the most rudimentary knowledge, we require education. Some knowledge we get simply by being born. It comes with the body. As Prabhupada often pointed out, cats and dogs don't need Freud. That Freud did so much study and became such an influential thinker by pointing out, not incorrectly, that everyone's mad after sex. Of course, his understanding of this was distorted because he, thinking then that sex is the all in all, he said that, well, lack of sex or lack of sexual expression is the cause of all the problems that people have, psychological problems that people have. So Freud's thesis, although expressed in scientific or quasi-scientific terms, gave the impetus to the whole modern ethos of free sex. So Freud is a highly respected thinker in the Western world. But as Srila Prabhupada pointed out, the cats and dogs, they know about this very well. They don't need to study Freud. You can hear the cats at night calling out for sex. How do you translate that? It's the same. Russian cats, Russian cats, English cats, they all have the same horrible noise. So Prabhupada writes here that this education is meant for a different kind of knowledge. The beginning of this social institution, in other words, Varnashram, is based on education meant for purifying the animal propensities of the human being. So education means to rise above the animalistic propensities. Here it's mentioned, education, charity, penance, and truth are the four legs of religion. So society is divided into Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. But they're all supposed to develop knowledge, to be charitable, to be austere, and truthful. To develop these propensities. Here, these terms, education, charity, penance, and truth, they're in the broadest terms, they're being mentioned. Education means not just getting some degree, but education to rise above the animal propensities. So that doesn't just mean formal education, but throughout life, education should go on. We should always be learning. There's always more to learn, always trying to improve ourselves. Here, charity, the word is dhanam. Dhanam means giving. So it means not only the formal act of giving charity, When one goes to a holy place, one gives charity to the brahmanas. On the occasion of the birthday of a child, one gives charity. Generally, charity means given to the brahmanas, not to others. It's giving charity for because people have only one leg, or they only have half a brain. That's also, that's more governmental duty is like that. But charity is given to brahmanas. But the whole, charity means more than that. It means the whole attitude of, developing the attitude of selflessness. That one acts for the benefit of others without expecting anything in return. As we see the guru has to teach the disciple, then what will the disciple give in return? One cannot repay the debt to the guru for giving spiritual knowledge. Generally one is expected to give dakshina, some charity, or some offering, not exactly charity, that's offering. So you can give 100 rubles, 1,000 rubles, 1,000,000 rubles, 1,000,000,000 rubles, but still one cannot repay the debt. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna says, dakshina jnana sandesha, that dakshina, or the offering to the guru, that is done by distributing the knowledge that he has given. Prabhupada, in one letter, said that if you at all feel grateful to me, he said, actually you cannot repay the debt to the spiritual master, but if you at all feel grateful to me, you should try to preach vigorously like me. So we may wonder why the sannyasis and leading devotees of this movement are traveling here and there, speaking knowledge of Krishna. So there may be various reasons offered out of compassion for the conditioned souls. Or a critical person may say, well, they just want name, fame and glory. But one major reason is to, as an offering to Srila Prabhupada, who has given us this knowledge, to distribute that. It's like the devotees, they're going out to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. To some, that might look just like some kind of salesmanship. But devotees who are very deeply meditating on the mission of Srila Prabhupada, they see that this is an expression of love for Srila Prabhupada. Every book distributed is another bouquet of flowers offered at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And maybe more pleasing to him than bouquets of flowers. Srila Prabhupada's, his own jnana sandesh, his own offering to his spiritual master, are these books. And he's giving the prasad offered to his spiritual master, distributing out of compassion to the conditioned souls. So the devotees who are distributing books, it might seem like, well, they're in the mode of passion, they're not very advanced. But actually, if they're meditating on how we are bringing the message of the acharyas given to us by Srila Prabhupada, we're bringing this to the conditioned souls, so they relish the very sweet exchange with Srila Prabhupada. So vidya, dhanam, tapaha, austerity, the whole tendency of the conditioned souls is to strive for sense gratification. The tendency of advanced human beings is to strive to curb the tendency for sense gratification. And satyam, truthfulness. You may say, well, the kshatriyas, sometimes they lie, because in politics sometimes one may lie. The vaishya may sometimes lie. For you, dear customer, I make no profit. Prabhupada gives this very example in purport to Bhagavad Gita. Sava Ramba Hidoshena. In every endeavor there's some kind of fault. Prabhupada, in his life prior to Well, in his householder life, he was a businessman. So we can deduce from this that in his business life, Prabhupada was quite familiar with all the techniques of business life and therefore made this comment. So how is it that by as a Kshatriya, Vaishya, that one has, how is the truthfulness upheld? Well, the Varnashram system is a compromise. It's the best system of social organization. But it's a system for regulating imperfection. Prior to the institution of Varnashram, there was only one jati. Everyone was Paramahamsa, and there was no need of any division of society. Everyone was just living as rishis. They're all Paramahamsas. But even the lying of the Kshatriya, of course that's not every time, only in certain circumstances. And even the allowance for sense gratification of the householder, it's regulated. It's regulated according to the system that's stated here to be given by Lord Brahma. Of course, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Varnyam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha, that I am the creator of this division of four orders. So who is the creator? The architect or the contractor? Well, both are. But the contractor is dependent on the plan given by the architect. So even though the Kshatriya may lie, but that's in certain circumstances, but the whole system helps to bring us gradually towards the highest truth, who is Krishna. So it's the Varnashram system. Prabhupada calls it here a social institution. Whereas in the modern world, there are intellectuals, military men, merchants, and laborers, but it's not systematic. There are also students, married persons, retired persons, and no sannyasis, and not systematic. There's no particular system, there's no particular goal. The goal is somehow or other to live, and then on top of that, whatever sense enjoyment you can enjoy. That's the bonus. The Varnashram system is meant for gradual purification, gradually coming to Krishna consciousness. Now, when we take to Krishna consciousness, we do so coming from the background of the chaotic, unorganized society. And we read about the Varnashram system in Prabhupada's books, but we don't really understand very much about it, it seems. Prabhupada writes here, and I'll repeat it again, this is going to be the third time, that the beginning of this social institution is based on education, meant for purifying the animal propensities of the human being. So this education is required. In our Krishna conscious movement at the present time, there has been for the last few years, the laudable attempt to give systematic education to its members. Education in the principles of Krishna consciousness. That's actually a very high level. Generally, it's understood that when one studies Krishna consciousness, he's already transcended the level of sadharan dharma, or ordinary dharma, or the ordinary principles of Varnashram dharma, or is ready to transcend that. So to transcend Varnashram dharma, this is actually an extraordinarily high level. We don't understand this. We find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is rejecting Varnashram as not, it's just something ordinary and mundane. But actually coming from our animalistic background, Varnashram is extremely high, very high platform. It's not that Varnashram is, you know, totally useless. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he created this system. But it shows the greatness of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that that is even far beyond that of Varnashram. So by Chaitanya, actually people in Kali Yuga are so fallen, they don't appreciate even this principles of Varnashram. So it's the great mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he takes people who are so fallen and takes them up to the standard even above that of Varnashram. And then often devotees make the mistake of thinking that, well, we're already above and beyond all that. It's true that one who's fully fixed in Krishna consciousness doesn't have to follow the rules of Varnashram. But if one is not fully fixed in Krishna consciousness, and doesn't understand the principles of Varnashram, then he's likely to fall again into sinful life. So this education is required to help lift us beyond the animalistic propensities. We're taking education in the principles of Krishna consciousness, which begins with the understanding that we're not the body. So because we're studying all these things, we're learning about Krishna, his different incarnations and pastimes, and the different levels of bhakti. So this is all understood on the platform beyond Varnashram. But we shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that therefore we don't need that. Generally devotees follow all these rules anyway, even if they are on the transcendental platform. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself strictly followed the principles of sannyas. Sannyas is part of Varnashram. So Varnashram is not intrinsically opposed to Krishna consciousness. Even for organizing Varnashram society, the principles of Varnashram are very useful. And if these principles are not observed, then it creates chaos within Vaishnava society, as it creates chaos in broader society. So you may think, well, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, so what does it matter if I don't follow all these? These are lesser principles. But failure to follow all these principles, as long as we're not liberated, failure to follow these principles will simply cause chaos. We see the example of Srila Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. He didn't follow any Vedic principles. He didn't even follow the principles of concerning how to properly worship the deities, not even the Vaishnava principles. However, he is a perfect example of Smartavya Satatam Vishnu, Vismartavya Najatu Chit. That one should always remember Krishna and never forget him. So he was Nirgrantha. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described in the Atma Rama verse, the word is there, Nirgrantha, which means no books. He didn't follow any Shastra. It also means no, not, K-N-O-T. He was not tied up in this, he had no material attachment. So when I was bringing out this book, some devotees were afraid that, oh, this is very dangerous. People may want to try to imitate Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. And I said, no, you don't have to worry. They won't try to imitate him. Not possible. Practically no eating, no sleeping, no passing stool or urine, no consideration of what time it is, whether it's day or night or any such thing. No social communion, only spoke with his deities. So for Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, there's no need to follow the principles of Varnashram. Actually, of course, for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's also no need, but he does so anyway, just to set a good example for others. So for most devotees, there is a need to follow this. If we think that, well, as long as I chant Hare Krishna, it's all right, I can do whatever else I like, then we're actually disrespecting Shastra by thinking like that. If we think we can commit sinful activities and just chant Hare Krishna, and that will be nullified, then it won't be nullified. So this education is required. how to rise above the animalistic propensities. Sure. Brahmachari should be a real brahmachari, should address all women as mother, should assiduously study the Vedic literatures, should be disciplined. Guru, guru means seniors. Disciplined by the gurus. Guru means seniors. Householders should be most responsible. No vyabhichara. Vyabhichara means loose behavior. There are certain rules to be followed. That's what the meaning of here says. This social institution, the vanashram institution. So like the vanaprastas, they should be, specifically they should be very renounced. And sannyasis, they should be proper sannyasis. You should be living for the benefit of others. So Prabhupada very much wanted to introduce this in society. At the present time, there is much disturbance even within Vaishnava society. One major reason for this is that we don't know where we stand in many cases. We don't know what our social duties are because we haven't been educated how to overcome the animal propensities. Our tendency, even though we're chanting Hare Krishna, we tend towards the animalistic way of life. This Prabhupada has given ample directions about this. And actually the principles are simple and easy to understand. But we tend to get overcome by lust, bad desires. And in doing so, cause so much chaos in our own lives and that of others. So we can begin to introduce this Vanashram system by following some of the, at least the basic points. Brahmachari should be a good brahmachari. Grihastha should be a good grihastha. Vanaprastha should be a good vanaprastha. And sannyasi should be a good sannyasi. So again, we may say, well, this is all external. Yes, but it's favorable for the cultivation of our Krishna consciousness. If one thinks, I'm a brahmachari, I'm a grihastha, if one thinks like this, then one is not Krishna conscious. On the other hand, failure to act within our particular station of life will cause so much, or failure to properly act, causes so much disturbance in Vaishnava society. So please consider this very carefully, and not to indulge in the animalistic propensities. The animalistic propensities especially refers to illicit sex, by engaging in which it very seriously impedes one's progress in Krishna consciousness. This is our disease. Prabhupada said this is the main, or he said this is the disease of the Western world. There's so much emphasizing on sex. Because people think the goal of life is to indulge in that as much as one desires. So we should learn higher values, how and on what basis Sita Devi married Lord Ram. Sita Devi married Lord Ram. They got married together. And why was she attracted to him? Why not Ravana? Ravana couldn't understand this. Why are you attached to that Ram? He's only a human being. I eat human beings. They're much inferior to me. I'm so strong. I'm so opulent. He's just a beggar living in the forest. I'm ruling over the city of gold. I just forget that Ram. So the average pretty young housewife of the modern age, they would be Asita. Oh. Not like Sita. They would say, yeah, okay, all right. Let's invite Ram for breakfast. Invite him to a breakfast engagement. And then when he comes, they ask, what's for breakfast? They say, you. Of course, Ravana couldn't overcome Lord Ram because he's not a human being, he's the Supreme Lord. But Sita Devi was fully attached to Lord Ram because of his divine qualities, even not thinking of him as the Supreme Lord. Apart from that, She was married to him, so where's the question? Even if she didn't have divine qualities of leaving him. One devotee was telling me there was one lady in Gujarat, and she was going in the villages and talking to some of the housewives through an interpreter, I guess. Gujarat in India.
She was in Gujarat.
No, she was in America. And I American human being or a Rakshasi or whatever, I don't know.
She was not a devotee.
No, definitely not. Yeah. Woman in India means married woman. It used to, anyway, now they've become modern. But traditionally, a woman means married woman. So she was asking them about all the faults of their husbands. They're saying, yeah, he's lazy, and he treats me roughly, and they're all looking. And she says to them, well, why don't you just divorce your husband? I said, no, God, what do you mean, divorce? How can you do that? How could we think of that? He said, well, you know, they're so bad. He said, yeah, well, anyway, it's our duty. It's by the arrangement of God, we're married to him, so it's our duty to serve. Probably listening to each other, they could find out that even if they dropped one and went to another, the other one wouldn't be any better anyway. So, a different way of looking at the world. This education is required. And how to, how to live as human beings. Prabhupada's disciples came to him. He had to teach them things like how to wear a dhoti, how to clean up your backside after passing stool and take a bath. These are not the things that Guru teaches disciples. These are things taught by the parents in childhood. So while lifting people up to the highest transcendental platform, he was simultaneously teaching them how to live as human beings. So without that, then we're always in a very dangerous position. We can see that people, even devotees, and they're practicing because they don't understand the basic principles of human behavior. They just slip into sinful life and they just think it's normal. So we shouldn't think that the narrations in Mahabharata and Ramayana are just like some nice fairy stories for us to hear about. They're all narrations of great personalities which have been collected by Vyasadeva and his disciples and given to us for our education. They're didactic. History books we read, this battle, that battle, this politics, this one became the king. That's also there in the Puranic literature, but the main point is not the political changes, but the high character of the persons being portrayed. We learn from Ramayana that even if we have to suffer, it is better to live like Ram and Ravana than to live as a so-called enjoyer, even if we have to suffer, it is better to follow the higher principles like Sita and Rama rather than trying to enjoy and be sinful as Ravana did. Not everywhere. Mahabharata, the Pandavas, they suffered so much, but they upheld their dharmic principle because they understood that anyway this life is very short and we can't sacrifice our character for the sake of some brief so-called enjoyment. This education makes one a human being. What's going on is in the name of education in the modern age is not education at all. So please study Prabhupada's books very carefully and see that the message is meant for us to apply in our lives. We may think, well, Ram, that was a long time ago and what is there practical for us to follow now? But the same principles were followed recently in modern life. We have our great acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. They showed how in householder life one can be Krishna conscious. They were responsible, they were earning money, they were looking after their families. At the same time, they were practicing and preaching Krishna consciousness in an unprecedentedly wonderful way. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, his contribution became apparent after his leaving his family. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur produced such amazing literature, such a tremendous contribution to the world, even while he was living as a householder with 13 children and heavy governmental responsibilities. The contributions of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the world has just overlooked such a great personality. So you may think, well, that's Bhaktivinoda, and who am I? But we can pray for his mercy, and if we can be even one trillionth of a speck of dust at his lotus feet, our life will be fully successful. So he was very responsible in his family duties. He looked after his family fully. And simultaneously, he practiced and preached Krishna consciousness. He was preaching. His character was so ideal that everyone, the British and everyone respected him so much. So that's another thing our ISKCON movement should do, is to inform the world of the contributions of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's the ideal for every householder to follow. Hare Krishna. I'm going to finish here. I can speak for a long, long time on all these subjects.
But I think
we should finish here. Others have to speak also. So, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Yeah, announcement. Announcement, we have one householder couple from Izhevsk, namely Mahadev Prabhu and his Sahadharmini, Vishakha Devi, who are preaching through the method of distributing prasadam. So they made a book they wanted me to announce, so I'm announcing Milk Sweets for Krishna. Where's that book? They're not here? Anyway, they wanted me to announce, so I'm announcing it. We have lots of books to announce. We have the Ganesh book, Vamshidas book, the Granta Raj, the king of all books. 10th canto of Bhagavatam is now available. 10th canto of Bhagavatam is the smiling face of the Lord. You can hear Krishna's flute in the 10th canto. That's what Prabhupada said as he was translating it. Chaitanya Charitamrita is also available. Yeah, here's the Prasadam book. So at our programs, Prabhupada said, the people should leave with their stomachs full, their hands full of books, a big smile on their face, and their pockets empty. So, we might be doing this to you. You might have enough money for your bus fare to go home, but you should take all these wonderful books with you. If you don't have enough money for the bus fare, well, you can do padayatra. chant your way back to your home. It's a good idea. It'll take you, what, 10 days to reach Chibuksaga, like that?